What on earth am I here for? You have a teaching outline in your bulletin there, if you want to get that out now. This is week five. We're actually on the fourth reason, our fourth calling or fourth purpose. Can we review the other three? What was the first calling or purpose? You called to what? Remember? First service got this one. They disagree with the other two, but they got the first one. You're called to be loved. Remember? Let God love you. What was the second calling? Called to what? Remember? No.
Belong.
Second was called to belong. Chris, I'm not doing a very good job of teaching. These guys aren't remembering anything. Called to become. Remember, part of God's family. Last week, now it's only a week ago, you're called to what? I think I heard it. No. Worship was the first week, fellowship was the second week. What was last week? Still haven't heard it, but maybe you said it. Called to become. Remember last week talked about, the whole thing was about becoming like Jesus, remember? That's called discipleship. Today's topic is called to bless. Now, next week, I'll ask you what it is. So, remember, at least last week's, okay? Well, this week's for next week. All right, you're called to bless. You're called to bless other people. How do you do that? Well, by serving them. You can serve them in hundreds of different ways. You can serve them physically. You can serve them financially. You can serve them emotionally. You can serve them in lots of different ways. So, on your outline, the fourth purpose of my life, God shaped me to serve him, okay? Because by serving him, he says, I want you to serve others. So by serving him, we serve others. Our memory verse is the first verse this week. Comes from Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So let's read the address first and then the verse together. Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That word workmanship actually means masterpiece. A masterpiece is something unique, one of a kind. Consequently, it makes it very valuable. So you are unique, and God considers you very valuable. Why did he create you, though? He created you to do what? Not to just hang on a wall like a masterpiece of art, but to do good works. That's what we call service or ministry, making a contribution, finding a way to help others. The word minister literally means servant. So that means if we're all servants, then we're all ministers. I'm the only pastor we have right now. But how many ministers does our church have then? How many?
One in every seat.
Good way to put it. Over 100 anyway. We don't know exactly the count. Maybe close to 200. But you're all ministers. We're all servants. Even though I'm the pastor, I'm still a servant or minister also. So on their outline, my life calling is to be a bivocational minister of Jesus. Sometimes we say we're all called to full-time Christian service. Now what does bivocational mean? Bi means two. I have bifocals. That means I can see things clearly up close and I can see things clearly at a distance. They serve two purposes. So no matter what you do to make money, if you're a truck driver, a nurse, a correctional officer, whatever you are, you have two ministries, if you will. That is to help others and to honor God. Help others and honor God. Two jobs we all have, no matter how we make our money. Help others and honor God. Is serving optional? Is it optional? For a believer, follower of Christ? No. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Serving is not optional. And we'll give you lots of reasons why you don't want it to be optional. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. whatever you do, eat, sleep, whatever you say, word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Whatever means whatever. Whatever can be a ministry. Can taking out the garbage be a ministry? Absolutely. Lady cleans our church. I saw her the other day taking out trash. Isn't it a good thing she takes the trash out? It would be pretty bad with all the trash cans overflowing. So that is a ministry. Washing dishes, can that be a ministry? Absolutely. Picking up trash, digging a ditch, vacuuming, anything can be a ministry. Everything in life can be a ministry. Help others and to honor God. How do you do that? Well, you have to have the right motivation, the right attitude. Someone has said this, menial tasks become meaningful tasks when you do it out of love of the Lord. Okay? So picking up trash, emptying the garbage is a meaningful task if it's done out of love for the Lord. This is a fact. A call to salvation is a call to service. Well, Pastor, where do you get that? Well, let me show you. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. God in his grace, we're all saved by grace. In fact, it was before I was born, so I couldn't do anything to earn it. So God in his grace chose me even before I was born and called me to what? To serve him, okay? The two are connected. You can't disconnect them. They're not optional. Call to salvation is a call to service. So we're going to look at four benefits, okay? Four things that if you need motivation to do this, other than the fact of obeying Christ, we're going to give you four reasons to change your focus from self to others. And we start these with serving others unselfishly. Number one, will create joy in my life. Create joy in my life. How many of you would like to have more joy in your life? Raise your hand. Say, everybody should put their hand up, right? You don't want more sadness in your life, do you? Everybody wants more joy. Well, you want more joy. It may seem counterintuitive, but if you want to have more joy, serve. We seek happiness in all the wrong places. Not necessarily wrong places, but we think that we'll get it from, you know, things or pleasure or success. And there is a sense of satisfaction in it, but it's always temporary, not lasting. Permanent joy only comes through service, giving your life away. Well, why? Why is that? If it's true, and it is true, why is it true? Because God wants to make you more like Jesus. We talked about that last week, right? All right. What was Jesus like? Did he serve? Absolutely. You want to know two secrets to joy? I'm going to tell you anyway. They're on your outline. Two secrets to joy. Number one, get the focus off myself. Get the focus off myself. We rationally think, well, I've got to do something for me to bring me joy. No. It doesn't work that way. Get the focus off myself. Philippians 2:17. My life is being poured out as a part of the sacrifice and service I offer to God for your faith. So service is a sacrifice. Two good words go together. Service and sacrifice. Yet, okay, I'm sacrificing, I'm serving, yet I am filled with joy. In fact, I have so much joy, I share that joy with all of you. But where does it start? With sacrifice and service. The result of that is being filled with joy. When the focus is on me, I become more and more miserable. When my focus is more outward on others, I have more and more joy. Now, society says it's just opposite, right? All the TV commercials say that. You deserve a break today. Well, no, you don't, okay? You don't deserve a break today. We don't deserve anything. But the more we give our lives away, the more joy flows into our lives. So I give my life away, joy flows in. I give my life away, so more joy flows in. Philippians 4, verses 4 and 5. I don't know what your first sermon text was, Chris, but this was my first sermon text back when I was very, very young, long, long time ago, 40 years ago or so. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are unselfish and considerate in all that you do. All right? Unselfish and considerate. So when you're selfish, you don't have joy, right? Joy is connected with unselfishness. When you're inconsiderate, you don't have joy. Joy is connected with being considerate. Next verse, also in Philippians. And the message paraphrased, but I like the way it says it. Forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand. Forget yourself long enough. You have lack joy, or you unhappy, start serving. Again, it might sound counterintuitive. Find a place to volunteer. Do something where you don't expect anything in return, whether monetarily or otherwise. Just serve. If not, your life is going to be selfish. It's interesting to me. We teach little toddlers what? They have toys, and we tell them, you need to what with your toys? You need to share it. You need to be unselfish. Then we grow up to be adults, and then we don't forget the lesson. Or it's okay for them, but not for us. Joy comes from unselfishness. God put you here on earth to make a contribution. Make the world a better place, we say sometimes. And that will bring you joy. Will Satan try and rob your joy? Absolutely. All right? So you need to stay focused. Focus off myself. And secondly, I'm not focused on myself. I need to be focused where? On others. Use my gift to help others. God has given each of us some special abilities, gifts, talents, whatever word you want to use. Be sure to use them to make lots of money. Now, you might make lots of money. That would be nice if you did. God bless you that way. But that's not what it says. Use them to help each other, passing on to others God's many kinds of blessings. You know, it feels good to help others, doesn't it? Just feels good. I don't know why we hesitate to do it sometimes. So why does God bless you? Why does he bless you? Just so you can be, I'm so blessed. Soak it all in. Is that why he blesses you? No. In fact, if that's what your attitude is, the blessings are going to stop. Because the blessings only can continue to flow in if they continue to flow out. All right? So once you get filled up with blessings, so to speak, you can't get any more. So we have to bless others to be continually blessed. Need to pass on what God gives to you. So, serving others unselfishly will create joy in my life. Secondly, serving others unselfishly will improve my relationships. Anybody need their relationships improved? We all do, right? Relationships are hard. Now, I often say life's about relationships, right? When they're going well, life is good. When they're not going well, life's not too good, right? So, serving others will improve my relationships. Relationships get better the more we serve. Why? Because the major problem in relationships is selfishness. Self-centeredness. I want my way and you want your way, and so there's conflict, right? So the more I learn to be unselfish, the more improves my relationships. And because I have changed, it changed the relationship, right? If I become more selfish, If I change that way, it's going to cause more relationship problems because I've changed, the relationship changes. So life is a lifetime school of learning to be unselfish, if you will. So, again, why? Why is life a lifetime long school of learning to be unselfish? Because, again, God wants you to become like Jesus. And what was Jesus like? Unselfish, right? How do we learn to be unselfish? Well, it's simple, but not easy. We can read it here in Matthew 20:28. Just an amazing verse to me every time I read it. Your attitude must be like my own. This is Jesus speaking. I've got to have his attitude, his outlook on life. What was it? I did not come to serve, but to serve. This is God Almighty saying, I did not come for you to serve me. If God can say that, God did say that, what must my attitude be? To serve. Help others and honor God. Now, two great benefits. One, we become more and more like Jesus, which we talked about last week. The other thing is, kind of a side benefit, if you will, you'll be more loved and respected. Who are the people you love and respect? Are they selfish people? People that don't serve anybody? No, the people we love and respect are people that give of themselves. So you want to be more loved, respected, serve. So we think if we're going to be loved and respected, I need to make myself more interesting, right? No, that's not how it works. Be more interested in others. You know why this works? Because everybody is selfish. If I show an interest in you, you're going to like me, appreciate me because I'm showing an interest in you because you are by nature selfish, self-centered. Was anything beneath Jesus? Talk about serving. Was anything beneath him? He washed dirty feet. Nothing was beneath him. So you and I should never consider anything beneath us. Romans 14, verse 18. If you serve Christ in this way, what way? Unselfishly, you will please God, which should be reason enough, and be respected by people. And the more we bless others, the more we are blessed. In fact, that's what it says here in Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11? There we go. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped. It's a win-win situation. What is the principle here? It's called sowing and reaping, right? How does it work? Well, you reap after you sow, what you sow, and more that you sowed. We understand it with a crop. If I plant a corn seed, I reap it later. It has to have time to grow. I get more than one corn seed, but I get corn, right? I don't get tomatoes, for example. All right, so if I sow kindness, for example, what am I going to reap? Kindness. Now, right away, but I'm going to reap kindness, and I'm going to reap more than I sow. So it's true of love, joy, whatever you and I may reap. So we also will reap. Well, I'm too busy to serve. You know what that means? You are too busy to let God bless you. And that's really pretty sad, isn't it? Sorry, God, but I'm too busy to let you bless me. You want God's blessings on your work? Be unselfish at work. You want God's blessing on your family? Be unselfish in your family. School, where, whatever. You want God's blessings? Be unselfish. Be kind. Show you a video from the movie Evan Almighty, a video clip. The black guy is playing God in the clip. And he talks about the importance of kindness.
Thank you. So, you're really him, aren't you?
You want more proof? I haven't done the pillar of salt thing in a while.
That's all right, I believe you. I don't understand why you chose me.
You want to change the world, son. So do I.
What? Why an ark? I mean, that's like flood territory. You wouldn't do that again. You wouldn't do that. Would you do that?
Let's just say that whatever I do because I love you.
Well, then you have to understand that this whole building an ark thing is really not part of my plans here. I need to settle into my house. I need to make a good impression at work. What?
Your plans. That's
What are you talking? We're talking about an ark, right? I mean, an ark? An ark is huge. I don't even know where I would begin.
Well, I hear that a lot. People want to change the world, don't know how to begin. You want to know how to change the world, son? One act of random kindness at a time.
Build the ark. I'll tell you what. You build it, I'll fill it. And if anybody asks, tell them flood's coming. Oh, and you might need this.
Okay, so what do? I grab the wood. Oh, okay. You know, that's just cruel. Do you see him? I don't see him.
It's a funny movie if you've never seen it. How to change the world. One random act of kindness at a time. I love the old adage about you want to make God laugh? Tell him your plans, right? A couple other verses from Proverbs. Your kindness will reward you, but your cruelty will destroy you. We do marriage counseling, and one of the things we tell couples, just be kind to each other. That'll solve half your problem. I know there's a lot of baggage there and reasons people aren't. Just be kind. A generous man will himself be blessed. Can you ever outgive God? Can you? No. Are you sure? Yes. Okay, you can't outgive God. Serve. You want better relationships? We all do. Serve. Thirdly, serving others unselfishly. We won't spend as much time on these next couple. But it will make my life meaningful. Again, where does meaning in life come from? Doesn't come from money and things and pleasure and all those things. Meaning comes from ministry. Meaning comes from giving your life away. I mentioned the missions trip. If you've never been on a missions trip, you're really missing something. Because really what happens on a missions trip, you're just giving your life away. And it can be random acts of kindness, doing whatever. But when you get back, and that's what's always exciting to hear the group report back, your life has changed. And what have you done? You've simply given your life away. But then your life has changed. It has had meaning it hadn't had before. Mark chapter 8, verse 35. If you try and hang on to your life, if you try and make it have meaning, force it to have meaning, you will lose it. It won't have meaning. But if you give up your life, or you give your life away, obviously for my sake and the sake of the good news, you will save it, or you'll discover true life, or you'll discover true meaning in life. So it doesn't come from trying to have it, it comes from giving our lives away. So, knowing this, what should our attitude be? Well, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your work in the Lord is never wasted. Fully. That means all in, all the time. Not half-hearted, not half the time. All right? And then Never wasted. Wasted means empty, useless, meaningless, without purpose. We want to avoid that, right? Nobody wants to waste their life. So is everything done for Jesus significant, important? Is it? Absolutely. Okay? Jesus said, a cup of cold water in my name is significant. It's important. It blesses that person and it brings meaning to your life. So serving others unselfishly will make your life meaningful. And lastly, it will leave a legacy. It will leave a legacy. You'll make a mark. Actually, you'll make two marks. You'll make a mark here on earth, but you'll make an eternal mark. Proverbs 10:7. Good people will be remembered as a blessing. How long do you think you'll be remembered after you die? Probably about 3 generations, because that's when the last family member will remember you, your grandkids. I went to the University of Maryland. The buildings have these names after these different professors or whatever they were. I didn't know who they were. It had no meaning to me other than that was the name of the building I had a class in. Right? A couple generations later, nobody remembers. So how do you leave a lasting legacy? Well, if you're lucky, you might leave one here on earth. But heavenly rewards, how long do they last? Forever. Exactly. All right? So no matter what I might accomplish here on earth, and if I'm fortunate enough to be somebody like, excuse me, Abraham Lincoln, they might make a movie of my life 150 years later. But most of us, that's not going to happen. But we can be remembered for eternity. What do you want to be remembered for? Being a generous, kind, loving person, or being selfish and all about yourself? What will you be remembered for? You and I get to choose. You get to choose. What I'm remembered for when I die will be what I chose to do with my life. And the same will be true of you. The truth is, everybody wants their life to count. Nobody wants to get on their deathbed and say, oh, I wasted my life. You want to do something great? Nothing wrong with that. Bible tells you how to do it. A little different than what you might think. Matthew 20:26. If you want to be great, that's okay. Jesus said, you must be what? Servant. Servant of all the others. You and I can be great. We should desire to be great. But that's the way to be great. You know, for every 500 books written on leadership, there's one book written on servanthood. In fact, we have this term now, servant leadership. Why put the word leadership in there? The way to be great is what? To be a servant. Mother Teresa is a great example. She chose to give her life away in the most obscure place on earth that she could find, in the slums of Calcutta, India, with the people that had no influence in this world. Not because she sought it, but was the result. She became great, didn't she? She won the Nobel Peace Prize. She spoke in Congress, and she spoke at the United Nations. What was her desire? All she tried to do was what? Serve all the others. Well, no one will see my acts of service. Is that true? Somebody will see. The most important person will see, right? Absolutely. Neat verse here in Hebrews 6:10. Sorry about my voice. I'm losing it. God is fair. That's nice to know, isn't it? God is fair. He will not forget the work you did and the love you showed for him. How? By helping people, his people. And he will remember. It's repeated. Not forgetting is remembering, right? So you not forget, he will remember that you are still helping them. And then we have a last verse. Jesus makes a promise to us in John chapter 12, verse 26. My Father will honor anyone. Are you included in anyone? Shake your head. Yeah. You're all included in anyone. My Father will honor anyone who does what? Serves. What's a greater honor? Serving Jesus or even a Nobel Peace Prize? No brainer, right? Want to leave a legacy? Start serving. See, you can do one of three things with your life. You can use it up, you can waste it, or you can invest it. And to invest in eternity, you have to invest in something that's going to last for eternity. The Bible says there's only two things that's going to last for eternity. You know who they are? One is pretty simple. People, right? People are going to last for eternity. The only other thing that's supposed to last for eternity is God's Word. So you want to leave a legacy, invest in both of these two things. God's Word and in people. God will honor anyone who will serve Him. Ask God, what role do you have for my life? What role do you want me to serve? Don't let Satan rob your joy and your purpose from life. Take action. You'll give your life to something. Everybody does. What will it be? What are you going to choose? Let's pray. Thank you, God. As always, your word speaks so clearly. Question is, will we accept it, believe it? God, you instilled in us a desire to have our lives have meaning, purpose, significance. And God, the world gives us lots of mixed signals, confusing signals about how to do that. I thank you that you make it pretty simple. Serve. Find something to do and do it. Help other people. Invest in your word and other people. And Father, your son Jesus is the perfect example. I'm just blown away by the fact that he, Almighty God, came to serve. Came to serve. Sinful man, us. We certainly didn't deserve it. He chose to love us, and we are transformed by that. And God, we can transform others. We can transform this world for your glory. Father, as always, we want to pray for anyone who's not in your family, has never stepped across the line, never accepted that gift, trying to go through this life on their own. And life's a struggle. But God, you offer us the most important thing we need, or several things: salvation, forgiveness for sin, meaning and purpose in life, and eternity with you in heaven. So God, we pray for any of you here that are contemplating, thinking about that. Just do business with God this morning. Ask God, okay, make yourself real to me. Let me know that you're there, that I need this. And God will speak to you, and the desire you have to speak to God is God-given. Desire to come to Him. He calls. He's calling you. Once you answer that call, say yes to God this morning. Let Jesus come into your life and transform it. Father God, I thank you so much for the power of your Spirit that works in us and brings about this meaning and purpose and this motivation and this energy. And let it all be for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You have a response card. Let us know about how God is speaking to you, what work God's doing in your life. There's actually a way to volunteer to serve on there if you'd like to do that. Somebody asked me about church membership in the first service. I said, there's a box on there to check about that. Just simply put, just be in the center of God's will. Just say, God, whatever you want me to do, I want to do it. Okay? And He will bless your socks off, so to speak. I pray this in the first service, that we would be made usable. Someone has said, if you pray that prayer, God will wear you out. Well, God, wear us out. We want to be usable. Thank you.